what this is all about is the job that you're going to get, you're going to create it. You have to know that you need to create your life. And I would encourage you that if you don't have a pen and paper handy, I'm going to give you a couple of golden nuggets. So you probably want to pull out a piece of paper. Before I start it, I believe that I should let you know how I've created my life. A brief history of me, born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. I did not see the ocean until after college. When I was your age, senior year in college, I kind of went, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I highly recommend internships. I did an internship, and then I decided to work three jobs as a waitress and part-time photographer and manager of a restaurant, and I saved my money for 1 year. And I literally worked my off and bought a ticket to Australia. And 2 weeks after I arrived in Australia, I learned to scuba dive. And scuba diving absolutely changed my life. Going underwater, I was free. Free from everything. And then, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in our heads, right? But first of all, from childhood, you know, they say that, you know, the first 18 years that we're with our parents, they screw us up for 18 years. And then we spend the next 20 years unwrapping what happens, right? I'm 41 now. I have 20 years from now on out to be me. So hang in there. Hang in there if you're in one of those wound up periods right now. So I literally, this is before the internet. The internet's only 15 years old, and I started doing this 20 years ago. The only way that I got mail was through postal restante. I had film in a film camera. The only way that I could afford the film was if I had $6 to pay for the roll of film and then, you know, $10 or $12 to develop it. Right, so we're talking that it was a different time, and I'm just bringing you there from what was possible then to what is possible now, because everything is immediate. You know, if you think about this, the internet is still a teenager. Gary Vaynerchuk says it hasn't even had sex yet. You know, I mean, it's amazing what is going to happen in the next 5 years. And if you're not capitalizing upon this now and thinking about how you're going to brand yourself now that you're a sophomore, junior, or senior, that's what you want to start doing, because you're always going to have this. If it's not going to be your full-time job, you're always going to have this as your part-time job. All right, and you, many of you might have it as your full-time jobs. It might be that, but you might decide as you're doing something with children that that becomes your full-time job, and this is just everything that you do to go along with that. So you can't necessarily predict your future. You have to declare what you want and then live into the declaration. So I was in Australia for a year, New Zealand for a year, and 2 years in Indonesia before stepping foot back on the United States soil. My mom thought I was going to be gone 2 weeks and come home, and I was gone 4 years. I learned to scuba dive. I became an instructor. Through my photography, I traveled the world. I traveled with the New Zealand Rodeo for a season. I've led this incredible life, but it was kind of like out of a suitcase, and I didn't make a lot of money, but I didn't care, because it was all about the experience of what I was doing. And so that's why I was asking you, what's your passion? What are you going to do with the direction that you're going? So then fast forward, I worked at the Field Museum Science. Oh my gosh, I loved working with education and science, and I, you know, somehow bridged the gap there. And then I went into corporate work for a while, and I always had my photo and video in the background, but I wasn't completely serious about that. And you know, if you haven't noticed, and this is the beginning, you're on a path. And when you graduate, you're going to have two paths to go down, or maybe four. And it's going to twist and it's going to turn. You have that at school. You have that this semester. You have this next week. You always have different paths that you can go. Some of us get stopped in the fear of which path we're going to choose. We just do. We get stopped because you don't want to make the wrong decision. There is no right and wrong. Go down a path. And if you ever question this, float above the path, okay? And if you have eight below you where you can choose from, let me just let you know that all the paths are going to lead you to the same place eventually. So it doesn't matter what twist and turn you take, dabble in this, find this, do this. You know, they're all going to take you along the same path. Okay? So corporate job didn't work for me. I literally went to hear a motivational speaker, Les Brown, harnessing your human potential. Can you do more than you're doing today? People with vision prosper. You have to do things other people won't do today in order to have the things that others won't have tomorrow. He spoke directly to me in a crowd of 1,000 people. I literally went back to my office, quit my job, sold my car, bought my underwater camera housings, and went and lived in Belize, Galapagos, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia. I was a dive instructor, boat captain, photojournalist, video pro, and writer. Right? So this was before they had the Renaissance women, and everybody thought I was crazy. Really, they did. You know, boats that sank. I could tell you stories about being on an island and getting stoned off of an island. And the guy, there was another guy with me at the time, and he was a photojournalist. I went diving, he was on, and we picked him up, and his cameras were in the water like this because he was getting stoned off the island. It was amazing experiences. There was no way to have communication back. So it's like this whole thing, what you're experiencing right now with the internet and with media changing, right? It's amazing what is happening right now. And so I know that you have a website from when you went to Galapagos. How many people have their own websites right now? One, two, kind of half. Okay, about half of you. The people that don't, and how about the people that don't have your own website? Okay, what's your name? You, no, your name?
Christina.
Christina what?
Fletes.
Say it again?
Fletes.
Spell it for me.
F-L-E-T-E-S.
Fletes. Did I say it right? So do you own the URL, Christina Fletes? Tonight, you have an assignment. And anybody else who does not own their URL name, you go home tonight and you purchase that URL name. You purchase your name because that is real estate. They predict within 10 years that the prime real estate is going to be the top three spaces on the internet. Now that might all change because they might develop something else, but for right now, that's what they're predicting. So this is really important to me, okay? You don't have to do, how you do anything is how you do everything. And right now you have to know you don't have to do anything. You have to choose to do what you're going to do, because when you choose to do things, it opens up your life completely 100%. Tonight on the airplane, this little one that I was on, I had one guy to the left of me and one guy to the right. And this guy hates his job, and this guy hates his job. One guy's 33, the other guy's 40. There is no reason that anybody should hate their job, right? You are at a pivotal point in your lives from where you're going, and you might be a little bit confused because you're scared about what's gonna happen once you graduate, or you're thinking about it, you know, right? If you do what you love and you love what you're doing, doors will open. So don't let fear stop you. False evidence appearing real is what Zig Ziglar says. Feel excited and, I don't know, you can make up your own acronym for fear, but don't let don't let your fear stop you from anything. So what I did, and this is why I asked you if you have your own website. So now that I'm started my own company, and as we wind around, has anybody like had this idea of how their life should be, and it's not exactly how it was? That happens to all of us, right? Like we might get a bad grade from our journalism teacher, and we don't think we deserve it or something. Oh, he didn't even bite. That's what happened to me. He didn't even bite. He just put his head down. So in life, right, life is what you make of it. But what happens is I got back from all this travel with the one thing, why I sold my car to buy my underwater camera housings, to be the best underwater cinematographer in the world, was for the dream job. I wanted to make IMAX movies. And guess what? I got hired by an IMAX movie company. I was hired as the underwater director of photography for 10 IMAX movies. It's unbelievable. Like, this was, I mean, they flew me back from Papua New Guinea to take the job because the job was going to be, it was going to start in Papua New Guinea. So I was supposed to get on a plane and come back to work for the company for 2 weeks and then to take their crew back to Papua New Guinea where I was, right? So here I am, I'm in their office. And every 2 weeks, I'm being told I'm going in the field. And I got stuck because the carrot was this big in front of my nose. I was getting a salary now, and it was like, gosh, 10 IMAX movies, gosh, 10 IMAX movies. Oh my God, underwater, and it went on like this, and it went on like this for a year and a half. They lost their funding. But it was like with this company that would go, oh, we have our funding, we have our funding. Oh. It's not here. We have our funding, we have our funding. Oh, come back from Papua New Guinea. Okay, so we must be going. They wouldn't have flown me back unless, right, this was going to happen. It didn't happen. So here I was, a year and a half later, you know, what do I do? Well, I decided that what I was going to, has anybody had an experience that they thought that they were going to get something and they didn't get it? Am I alone in this or no? I didn't think so. I just, you know, so whatever you got going on there, right? And you think it's sometimes what happens to us at the time that seems so bad can be the best thing in the world. So I went home that night and I didn't know what I was going to do. I probably cried a little. Like, honestly, I probably did. Just a little bit. But I also became empowered. Because I said to myself, what do I really want to do? And one of the things that I wanted to do was I had a complete entire stock library of photos and videos from all over the world that I couldn't work on because during that year and a half that I was working on them after I had been overseas, I had a contract. I couldn't do anything that was in direct competition with them. But I had always, because my photojournalism teacher told me, I had model releases, I had everything in place so I could produce anything with my products. And so I had this idea, and I heard about Book Expo of America, which is in New York every other year, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna do a book and DVD for kids, and I'm gonna fly to New York and I'm gonna sell my idea. Every single person in my life told me I was crazy, and that I would never do it. What, you think you're gonna show up in New York and you're gonna produce something, right? You know, I had that vision. Don't let anybody stop you. You know inside of you what you are supposed to be doing. Don't let the voices stop you in your head. Don't let somebody else tell you that you can't do something. You have to feel it here. I got on that plane, I went to New York and I sold my idea. And I produced Ocean Life A to Z with Reader's Digest, right? This is, you know, everybody told me no, I would never do it, and I came home with a contract, right? So when you know in your heart and in your gut, I had a very important man, Jed Hammer. He once said to me, never listen to what's going on up here. You'll feel it in here. And I carry that with me. And learning to scuba dive. Somebody asked about scuba diving. I learned the golden rules in scuba diving. How many scuba divers do I have out there? 1, 2, 3, 4, just 4 or 5. Here, it doesn't matter, we're gonna go on a journey right now. This is the golden rule in scuba diving. And we do hand signals, we can't even talk, so even though I'm talking a lot right now, come diving with me, you don't hear me. I won't even wear one of those mask things because it's silent for me under there. This is stop. So all of my first time I take anybody in, under the water, they learn stop. The second thing that they learn is think. Stop, think. And then this is breathe slowly, and then act. Stop, think, breathe, and act. Through your breathing is where you're gonna find your life. Life is breath. And when we're breathing fast, we move fast, we act, not cautiously, hastily. So stop, think, breathe, and act are the golden rules in my life. And after I produced Ocean Life A to Z, I got a grant. I had other people kind of support me with now they were not naysaying me. Nobody ever tells me you can't do something anymore. It's amazing. When you do something, even if it's like off the wall, you prove everybody wrong and you realize that you're on your path. So now we have an award-winning series of DVDs out for children and quite a few other projects. I've made a couple of documentaries as well, and I teeter between production, business ownership, my own personal life, trying to get it all into balance, right? Because that's important, body, mind, and soul. But so this was the kind of path that I took, and everything led to this from every experience that I ever had in my life. So whatever you're going through right now, that's gonna take you to where you're going to be. So don't be afraid to do that. And so the point of that was that I made this up. We make up our life. I created this. We created Ocean Annie. So now when I go out and speak, I'll speak as Ocean Annie. So how are you gonna create yourself? Because you create yourself for every job that you do. You wanna start blogging right now. All of you who have, somebody brought in a camera today. Somebody had a camera? Oh, good. Do you mind taking a group photo before the end? So nobody's allowed to leave. We have to make sure that we have a group photo. Okay, a group photo. Because we're gonna put it up on, I wanna put it on Facebook. I wanna put it on Facebook and then you guys could all friend me and connect with me, you know, because that's how the world works. Who's on Facebook? Who's not on Facebook? Who's not on Facebook? Is there a reason you're not on Facebook? No, this is important. Do you do Twitter? Do you do any of the social networking things? So you're anti. So you're the person who doesn't do it. Because?
I hate it.
Because you hate it. I hate it too. I have somebody else who fills mine in sometimes, but I like it sometimes too. If you fight it, you're gonna lose the game. It's really true. If you fight some things like this, you're gonna lose it because you, and I'm not picking on you. I'm not. And because you might fight it just to prove me wrong, and that's great. But any company, now they're hiring people your age right out of college to teach them how to Facebook, to teach them how to Twitter, and tweet and do all that stuff. Even myself, I have an intern who does mine sometimes for me, who loves it, right? You might not love it, but you still have to know it. You still have to understand it, because there are some things that we don't like to do that we have to do if the whole world is going in that direction. Unless, of course, you're gonna design an entirely new platform that we're all gonna join. But that might be a little bit more difficult unless you know why we all like this one, right? So if you have your own company and your own website, you want all of these people who are on Facebook and all these other social networking sites to promote you. But it's got to be a give and take. Everybody understand the importance of that, like thinking about it from that point of view? Because this is the people who are going to hire you unless you're going out with and I shouldn't say that, because right now it is the wild, wild west. It is the wild, wild west. We grew up with one television set, could you imagine that? I mean, I'm sure that your parents or your grandparents talk about this. My grandma, so your photojournalism students, has anybody interviewed their grandparents? Good. It is one of the most, and make sure you do it again 5 years from now because it's gonna change. I've interviewed my grandma now 3 times on film. It's gone from, you know, like, high 8 to mini DV to high def, right? And let me tell you, she looked a lot better when she was on high 8, but the quality isn't there like it is on high def. Okay, so this is important. Do you know what the best invention for her? Here I'm thinking it would be the television or something like that. No, the telephone. She lived at a time that in order to get communication, only the tavern on the corner for the whole entire block had a telephone. And that changed her life. So we are moving at one of the fastest paces. How many people have a YouTube channel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so If you don't have a Gmail account, even if you hate Google and you hate Gmail, you better go sign up for a YouTube channel that has your name as well, if you don't have that already, because that is the second largest, YouTube is the second largest searchable site. YouTube is more than Yahoo. And there's secrets as to how you do it. So this has replaced traditional media, right? We all know that. Okay, so I'll go very quickly over that. But this is in order to get a job. Okay, so here we go. Who asked me, how do I get a job? Okay. How do you, who's the seniors and graduate students? Okay, so how do you get a job? Yeah. Oh, you have one. Do you have one that you're going to have when you graduate too?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
You do? What are you going to do?
I'll be working for a nonprofit. And, go to Southern Africa to do documentary work on the other nonprofits are doing in the world.
That's great. Who else has got a job? Now, to get that job, did you have that lined up? Somebody found my blog and found me on Facebook. This is how it happens. Now, on your blog, do you have photographs? Do you have video? Photographs and video on her blog. Blogs are now being searched. Do you guys know this? I don't know how much you keep on top of everything. Is anything I'm saying of interest to you? Or no? Okay, good. You guys, is anything I'm saying of interest to you? The blogs now are being searched on the internet. This didn't used to happen. That's only started 2 weeks ago. So now how websites used to get searched, now blogs are getting searched. What we're gonna have this weekend is all about is news. People believe bloggers over the news. What's gonna happen when we don't have the news because the newspapers didn't get on top of it soon enough and they're all falling out, right? The whole world's changing. I get a magazine delivered to my inbox. Have you guys heard about MIME magazine? MIME, M-I-M-E. Do you guys know about printing that is, my brother's in the paper industry, so I'm very much on top of the print industry. And do you know the Shutterflies of the world? And do you know about how you could take a list of people and plug it into a printer and every single one of the marketing materials and the paperwork that comes out of the printer comes out with a unique name and interests so they know you. It's like, does anybody like Ayn Rand? We're turning into a utopia, we are. They know everything about us. We're gonna have computer chips in our wrists. We're just gonna go through the airlines like that. Doesn't that scare you? Doesn't that scare you? So now I get a magazine that gets delivered to my inbox. It gets delivered to my inbox, and the advertising is all for me. It says, Annie, wouldn't you like to buy this Porsche? And I think, yes, if I sold that Porsche, how many cameras could I buy? but we're getting this type of advertising, and it's all turning on to electronics. And so this is very important, because when you're going for your job, right, you might decide internship is the way to go, right? Because a lot of people, I have interns working, I have three colleges around me, and I look for good interns. And every single intern, and you wanna see who you would intern with. You don't wanna just intern with somebody. You can handpick them. And I'll tell you, the interns I like are really good at what they do. And I require a minimum of a 3-month internship because it takes that long to get to know somebody. The reason why it's good for an intern to come through me is because I mentor them. If you are good at what you do, if I can't hire you at the end, I help you find a job because I understand how hard it is. And that's how a lot of my interns have come through me, and I've been able to pass on my knowledge to them. And that's the kind of person you want to mentor. If you don't have a mentor in your life, you want to start looking at people that are, they don't have to be in your industry either, in photojournalism. They can be. They could be video journalism. It could be a television. You know in your gut what you want to do or what you think you want to do. And unless you try it, what happens if you spent this whole time at college thinking that you wanted to do this, and then you get in the field and it's like this, and you go, oh, this isn't what I signed up for. So you've got to get your feet wet, and the sooner that you get your feet wet, if you're only a sophomore, get an internship as soon as possible, right? Do it. If you're not, are you guys working for the school paper?
I'm applying.
You're applying. Good. So he's applying. Now I'm going to take him through a mind shift. You don't apply for anything. You get it in your head that this is what I'm going to do, and you go and you do it. So you're going to get a job at the newspaper. And do not take no for an answer, even if they won't hire you. You become dedicated if that's what you want to do. If you see that as your path, that's what you go and do. You don't let anybody stop you, not even yourself. So you have to shift how you think about these things in your mind. Some people are graduating with college debt. I don't need to see a hand to see who's graduating with college debt and who's not graduating with college debt. What your bottom line is very important, because that is going to control the decisions that you make until you become debt-free. And the biggest advice that I can have for you is to set up that plan and do not be afraid of money. Do not be afraid of money. So many people, and if you're only a sophomore, and even if they're going to give you lots of money, you can say no. You don't have to be a spendthrift when they're giving you a lot of money, if they are giving you a lot of money and you happen to be in that position. Because money chains you. Having debt chains you to feelings that you don't need on top of your head. Right, and anybody who has a lot of student loans knows what I'm talking about. So I would encourage you to think about, if you get an internship, which might be an unpaid internship, how are you going to generate money at the same time? For me, I waitressed three jobs. I had two different things going on, from like 10 in the morning to like 2 in the morning, you know, and that's how I was always out of debt. I worked at school, not only for the paper, and I worked for our paper and our yearbook, but that was print at that time, you know, and we also didn't have the ability to cash in on our blogs. Right now, if you get a lot of readers, people want to pay you to advertise on your blogs. People want to pay you if that is a model. So a lot of people, and I know I was one of them, when I was in college, I was fearful of money, because sometimes when you're on this track of bachelor's of science, right, or the arts track, they don't teach you as much about business as you need to know. So if you're not learning it now, you have to learn it. It's a part of what makes the world go round. So please don't be afraid of that. And if you don't have somebody in your life to talk to, you need to get comfortable with it. One of my favorite books, Ayn Rand. I did want to change the spelling of my name at one point to A-Y-N, because I just thought she was so cool. This Perfect Day is the utopia that I read when I was 15 years old, and that's the one that you slit your wrist and you input that computer chip. And I think we're coming close to it. Did you guys grow up with the Jetsons? Oh my gosh, Skype! How much do I love Skype? Do you guys Skype? I mean, I see my sister and her kids in Australia. Who would have thought? Science fiction. If you guys want to see what's going to happen in the next 5 years, go and get science fiction from 50 years ago. Jules Verne, everything he wrote about is coming true. So if you want to predict the future, you don't need the astrology. Just go to the science fiction writers. So this is, again, please do not be afraid of money. It is something that a lot of people fear. Get control of it. This is a very important part of your life. And so even though you thought you want to be photojournalist, if you don't make the money, how can you buy your camera equipment? Right? And so it's a very, very important aspect, unless you have a car to sell, right? And sometimes you might choose to do that, you know? Here are your friend's boots. So your job is to produce value that generates revenue, that generates profits. So we have, is anybody at all concerned about what's going on right now on the planet? Like, does anybody like the news part of photojournalism? You do? What do you like?
I just like keeping up to date with
keeping up to date with what? There's a lot of catastrophe going. Oh, no kidding, huh? So what part of it do you like? You might. I mean, some people like that.
I don't know. It's like knowing, thinking about the world on smaller terms, just, you know, when you're in the world, different areas and what's going on in those areas.
So are you going to go into news then? You'd like to.
I will.
I like it. I like it. Right. So do you, by any chance, here, do you cover news here? Why not?
No, I don't cover.
I know, but why not? Like, you might think you want to go into it, but thinking about it and then doing it are two different things. So I'm going to challenge you guys. If you want to do something, you need to do it now. Because a lot of times, it's really interesting. One of my favorite quotes, it's important to have an end to journey towards, but it's the journey that matters in the end. So many people go through life and they go, oh, if I could only do this. And then they do it and they're never satisfied. So if it is, like, I don't know if you could work for your paper, but you might want to consider doing that. Right? Because, and I'm not talking about just the school one, but I bet you could get an internship at the local paper, right? Or at least once a week, follow a photojournalist to see if you enjoy doing that. What's going to happen, and we're going to see an explosion over the next 5 years of all sorts of different things going on, because we do have a lot of problems in the world that are being exposed now. I mean, think about, we have an inside look at Iran. We have an inside look at Iraq. We have insides in a way because of the internet that has never been explored before. If you want to go and do something, you can do this, right? But we're going to see that the solutions are going to happen, and they're coming from you. So if you know what you want to do, it is not, this is the kind of stuff that they teach you in business. You need to leverage partners and pursue your strengths. Right now, if you are not all connected, these are some of your best friends as far as during this time. You guys are connected. Where do you want to be in 5 years? You want to have your own business? Here or?
Here.
Here, locally. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
NPR.
NPR, did you say?
NPR.
You want a photograph for NPR. And for yourself? I don't know. It's okay. And for you?
Not sure.
Not sure either. Okay. Oh, it's okay not to know, right? But if you don't know, by not knowing, that's your decision. And that's where you're going to go. Which is okay, because then you can experience anything, right? There's no rights or wrongs. But keeping in touch with the people that you're in class with now because you can, if you have your own business and she's off in the world, you don't know the networks that you can create right here, right now, 4, 5 years from now, even not knowing and staying in touch, because she might need photographers in 5 years, you know, because she might go into a different direction than what you go into, all right? Or nonprofit, Carly, I knew that there was an R and an L, I just didn't know how it went together. You know, so you never know, and this is your network right here, and then people outside of your industry are part of your network as well. So it's very important that you are already thinking about this. So in journalism, what is your story, right? Isn't that what they all, who, what, when, where, why, how, sometimes why, right? That's a story we go after. And a picture tells 1,000 words, right? Right? Video tells more now, sometimes. What's your story? Because your story is your life. And too many of us think about what everybody else's story is of us. And that's not going to work. That's why this 33-year-old who sat next to me here and the 40-year-old who sat next to me hated their life. They were doing things that they thought that they should do from everybody else. So What's your story and what's your purpose? Align your purpose with all your actions. So if you know who you are, then you act from that. Right? I can stand up here and talk to you guys for a half an hour before we take questions because of this one thing. My purpose is to inspire you to go out and do what you want to do. And I speak from a place of inspiration. So if I'm taking photography, it's to inspire people. If I'm doing video, if I'm creating a book, whatever I'm doing in my life, I'm aligning with my purpose of who I want to be and who I am. And so that is, and it might be something you wake up in the middle of the night tonight if you don't know your purpose, and it might change a little bit. It might go from Africa to Asia, you know. You might go in different directions, and that's okay, but what you're gonna find is you probably already know your purpose inside of you. Do you know your purpose?
Yeah.
What is it? Deep listening, a great storyteller is a deep listener. So it's very interesting that you said that you like to listen to people. And it's in the listening that so many things are heard, in the listening. So I just have a couple more slides. Anybody who's not sold on this, this was announced October 9th, 2009. I know it's old news for you guys, but 1 billion viewers, 1 billion at your fingertips. And then there's many niches along the way. And the amazing thing, and I don't know if you realize this, but this is our news, that gloom and doom and destruction is what they tell us about on the news, right? If anybody, and this is serious, if anybody's depressed right now, turn off the news. Do not even watch it, okay? That's really, do not go there. Surround yourself with better things, but that's what's going on. Well, I was living in Indonesia when this happened, and I was living on an island, North Sulawesi. The Muslims and the Christians, they live side by side in peace, right? I was getting emails from my uncles, come home, you're in dangerous territory. And a series of events happened that I was convinced that we were gonna enter Iraq, and who knew what was gonna happen. And my resort was the only resort with power, with electricity, with everything that any army would need. And when the Atache from Singapore and the general army in charge of 20,000 men came to go scuba diving with me, I knew that it was time to get out, right? When I arrived in LAX, I have never been so frightened in my life. I had never heard of the orange alert, the red alert, I had been living in Indonesia, we didn't have that there. And I got home, it scared the patootie out of me. I was like, what is this? And I still can't believe it. I still think it's a hoax, right? So on my blog, I would write about what the hoax is from the government, because there's places over there living side by side, even though we're so frightful here in America. It's amazing what happens with the news. And the reason why I mention that is because you are our future. If you're gonna be telling me our news, what is your ethics? And that's where the ethics and the values are very important, and the difference between blogs and journalism. And on your blog, are you gonna be the journalists that you've been learning about? How are you gonna represent yourself? And thinking about your unique selling point, companies 2 years ago were paying $3,500 for one station in a media market. This is why you need to know how to leverage Facebook and everything else for your clients, for your future clients. You guys have to be experts at this, because this is what your clients are going to expect of you guys. Of course, because you are how old? Between the ages of 18 and 25, right? Right in there. Anybody that I hire, I expect them to know it. When somebody comes to me and they don't know this and they're your age, I'm like, wait, I know more than you do about this, but you grew up with it. Right, so this is a unique selling point for you, because and so this is a strength. This would go, you know, when you're applying for those jobs, if you know this stuff, that's your strength. So the reason why I like imagination is it's the ability to visualize. A dream is only a fantasy until you make it a reality. Without your imagination, without a dream, you won't go anywhere. But you have to have a plan to go along with the dream, or else it becomes a daydream. Right? Yeah. Okay, so this is some of the kind of things that I do, always with empowerment and leadership, right? So again, I created that. You create your life. Whatever you want, you declare it and then you live into it. This was created at college. And 4 years, this is only 5 years old this April. Could you imagine life without it? I don't think it's possible. My friend was telling me that he was sitting with his granddaughter yesterday, who's 3 years old, and she wanted to watch YouTube videos. YouTube videos, the funny ones. He said, "Papa, pull up the funny videos." She's three. That's our future. So yeah, just from April 23rd, 2005, it was a minute long. And I just bring this into perspective in case you guys haven't thought about that in a long time. I have a channel, Annie Crawley, and then I put some video on here, but I wanna answer, I'll just play this. I didn't plug in the audio, but photo and video are merging into imaging. You have to know both. It would be a disservice for you to go in the field and not shoot the video, because even if you're not gonna use it now, it's gonna come into play in the future. So so that's that. Questions? Yeah.
You're saying that we need to know what we want, and I think that my question is, if you do know what you wanna do and you like to have that feeling, which I do, I don't know the avenues by which to reach that. I think that's the problem that I'm having, to find people that connect me to where I want to.
Okay, great, what's your name?
Hillary.
Okay, so I'm going to do an exercise with Hillary, which is going to help everybody, I'm hoping. Okay, everybody want to participate with me? Is that okay? Does everybody know Hillary?
No.
No, Hillary. Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
Hi. Hello, Hillary. You know what you want to do, but gosh, we're all so confused. Come on, let's hear it. Yeah. Okay, so there's two things I'm gonna ask you. Okay, so you don't know how to do that? You don't know how to get into the Peace Corps? Okay, a word for advice. Does anybody else wanna go into the Peace Corps? You do? Oh, great, so I'll talk to these two at the same time. Whatever you do, don't tell them you're a journalist. They won't take you. It happened to me. That's all I wanted to do was go into the Peace Corps and journalist, and then it depends on who's interviewing you. This is no kidding. I had some guy who was 75 years old. He couldn't relate to me at all. And interviews are very important. Your first impression. You only have one opportunity to make a first impression on anybody. And you know what? I don't care what they say. First impressions are a lot. They mean everything. Especially like the two girls who walked into the bathroom today when I had my stuff all over. You know, that's their first impression of me. Right? I didn't take my coat off when I was up here getting my stuff because, man, I probably, you know, I just traveled for 14 hours. I didn't want you guys to see me yet. First impressions are everything. It's very important. I'm embarrassed. I'm in jeans. I wouldn't usually be in jeans, even though you're, even though I'm at a college, because I dress one step up. How you dress is very important for your Peace Corps interview. I even bought a green suit for mine. They didn't take me. I was rejected from the Peace Corps. Oh my God. Oh my God, it was terrible. Why? Yeah, but you know what happens? Okay, so do you know, Hillary, how old are you?
21.
When I was your age and they rejected me from the Peace Corps, it crushed me. Like, I couldn't tell anybody I was rejected from the Peace Corps, and now maybe I should write a book about it, right? Because, right, or write an essay about it, because it's so funny. Once something that's very painful, all I could say is that once you step far enough away from it, you could talk about it, and it becomes funny, right? You can find the humor in it when it gets far enough away from it. The point that I'm making is, one, do not tell them that you're a journalism student. They only know what you tell them, right? What are you graduating with? Don't be all proud that you're a photojournalism student and you want to. No, don't tell them any of that. No, this is serious. You have to know. You have to know who is interviewing you. You have to know who's interviewing you. And you have to, I mean, you don't have to lie. You could say you like to take photos. Okay, so now it's not necessarily the Peace Corps.
Right.
You want to be in Africa.
Yeah.
You want to take pictures of You want to teach children. Okay, so one of the things, and this is what happened to me. I wanted to travel. I thought, get in alignment. So, okay, so now you're going to go to the Peace Corps and you're going to apply. Okay? And I guarantee that there's at least, I don't want to blow it, 250 other organizations that are teaching children in Africa. At least. At least. I mean, there are so many, if that's what you want to do. And if you're going into the Peace Corps, they freeze your college loans for the time that you're there. But you only get $2,500 a year when you, you know, for this experience. So if you went through that, like this is monetarily, right? So if you do the pros and the cons and everything else, the Peace Corps is really hard work, and you're, you know, sometimes you're doing wells in the village, and you might not have access to power. Okay, so do you use one of these old cameras that we could click and put film in it? No. In the Peace Corps, you might go to a village that has no power, and they might leave you there for 3 months at a time. So you'll only get your one roll of film for that. And then your lenses might get moldy and everything else. No, it really might happen. I mean, that happened to me on boats. You know, your lenses get moldy and all of this. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna ask you, okay, so if you wanna go to Africa and if you wanna teach children and educate children and document that experience, now start Googling educational opportunities in Africa. And you're gonna come into alignment that even if you are volunteering your time, that you're not coming home after a year with $2,500, if you get there and something happens, you can leave, right? And not saying that you couldn't with the Peace Corps, because I know you can't. But a lot of us get stuck into, oh, I wanna do this and how do I do it? Have you Googled education in Africa yet? Maybe even photography education in Africa, right? And then Africa is a continent, Mrs. Malprop, a continent with how many countries? 52? I didn't know how many there were anymore. I minored in African studies when I went to school, and I ended up in Asia. I liked Asia. I haven't been to Africa yet. That's on my list this year, to 2011. So when we think, we get ourselves pigeonholed in our heads that we have to do this instead of opening it up. Now, I'm not saying, please don't take that in any way that I'm discouraging her from going into the Peace Corps or lying to the government, because that's, you know, I would never want you to lie to the government. never. But I am gonna encourage you always to consider who is doing your interview and would that serve them or not serve them to actually have somebody documenting something that they might not want documented, you know, even though it's all over. But the Peace Corps, one of my friends went in, got accepted. She did 6 years, you know, and now works in Washington, D.C. And so it's not, you know, it's something that I might consider doing later in my life for a nonprofit, not the Peace, you know, like, or something. Okay. Another question. Did I help you with that? Okay. Who else? You just don't want to be put on the spot. Is that it? Are you afraid? Did I frighten you? So did you want me to talk about how you work with nonprofits? Because I got hired by Project Kaisei to go out to the North Pacific Gyre so this is true. If you see it, you make it happen. What we say matters, what we do matters, what we think matters. In January of 2009, February 2009, I was searching on the internet, and this website came up, and it was Project Kaisei, and Dr. Sylvia Earle's name was on it that gave it the thumbs up. And they were talking about sending an expedition out to the North Pacific Gyre. And I said to myself, gosh, I want to be on that expedition. I said it. And every once in a while, I went back to that website. And then I met Dr. Andrea Neal in Santa Barbara. She was a Ocean Future scientist, and she was doing a beach cleanup. And I get two of my friends who are in the production industry, One guy's like 55, you know, he's like really into production in his life, like high end, right? He owns a Very Cam and, you know, he does a lot of work. And I say, would you join me with a beach cleanup? You know, and we just went to the beach cleanup. It was really funny. And so we're three professionals. We go to the beach cleanup and it's a joke. It's a real joke. But I talked with Dr. Andrea Neal, who's the chief scientist that I didn't know for Kaisei that was going out. And she told me that one of the founders was going to be at Channel Keepers giving a presentation the next night and that I should go and that I could meet him. And gosh, wouldn't it be great if you could be on our boat because you do photo, video, and all these things. And I went, yes, and I was complete in alignment. And so I went to the meeting. I got there late. I was a half an hour late. Nobody showed up. Nobody came. You know, it's Santa Barbara. We're home of the nonprofits. There's 247 nonprofits in Santa Barbara. There's way too many. Too many nonprofits, and they're all real small. They don't do, you know, but it is the land of the nonprofits. So here, another person speaking on cleaning up the ocean. You know, it's just, it's kind of a joke, right, for us. So I go there, and I end up having dinner with him, and he sees all my work. He loves that I'm in alignment with children and education, loves that I could do photo video, loves this, and starts communicating. He flies back to Hong Kong. We start this conversation. He's calling me from Hong Kong. Can you go? And I tell him, you know what? I can't go without getting paid. Because I can't do it for free anymore. I'm at a point in my life, I can't do it for free. 20 years ago, I would have done it for free. Absolutely, I would have gone on this expedition for nothing, as a couple of people have done, right? So what ended up happening was on the Kaisei boat that went out, they had four people go out, two sets of film crews. One they paid a photographer and a video person, and then they had a professional film crew on that boat as well who paid them to be on the boat. Okay, they paid. That's what film crews will do. They pay to go on expeditions like this. So I'm on the other boat. I'm on the Scripps Institution boat. We agree on a price, and it's lower than I want, but it's a lot higher than what I thought I was going to get. And so this is, write this down. Write this down. Are you guys ready for this? So when they call you up for your first job that you don't know what it's going to be yet because you're not quite sure what it's going to be, right? But when they call you and they say, well, how much is that going to be? Even though you want to say $350 a day or whatever it might be, right? What's your budget? What's your budget? Always ask them what their budget is. Do you guys know why? It could be higher than what you want. Happened to me the other day when I go and speak sometimes. You know, I charge fees for speak. What's your budget? Because I don't want to overprice myself or underprice myself. I want to find out what their budget is. It doesn't always work. Sometimes they say, no, make a proposal, right? So always have a fair idea for a proposal, but always have a loophole in there of how to get in or out of it, all right? And right now, you are talented, young professionals. How do you think of yourself? Are you capable to shoot photography? Can you shoot for anything? What about you? Yes? Are you? Are you? Who are you shooting for? Do you have clients right now? Do you have clients? Who's got clients in the room right now? Couple people. I'll challenge you before the end of the year. That's not far away. I mean, I'm giving you a big leeway here. That's like, I don't mean the end of 2010. I mean the end of this semester. Every single one of you should have a client. Even if you're giving your services away because in your portfolio, you not only want the work that you've had to do for your classes or your personal projects, but you want somebody to give you a recommendation. You want a recommendation on your blog, you want a recommendation on your website. These are worth a lot because people want to know how you work. How you do anything is how you do everything. Think about the words that you want people to say about you think about who you would want to hire for a job. Think about yourself. Think about what words that you create about yourself, and then you live into that character and you live into that person. So if you're dependable, if you can shoot anything, maybe you can't. Maybe architecture is your interest. Maybe news is your interest. Maybe, you know, and so whatever it might be, you have to think, because photography is this huge field. And within it, if you could do anything, and how many people want to do travel photography? How many people believe that they can do it? Like that there might be some money in it? Because can do it, do you think that there's going to be money in it? You do. I love you. Yes. Okay, so everybody who wants to do travel photography, right? There was like at least half of you guys can't see, but at least half of you guys wanted to do travel photography. But then when I said money in it, everybody put their hand down but one person. Okay, so that's going to be your hobby. Is that what it's going to be? Travel photography? Okay, so you still need to think about what's going to make money. And I'm not saying it's an impossible thing, right? To do this as your passion until eventually you can make money on out of it. So a lot of, it's what you're doing. Does anybody know downtime? Do you guys do downtime? What do you do in your downtime? So do you watch television or the internet or YouTube videos? Oh God, I can't believe I dated myself and said television, huh? What do you do in your downtime? And you don't have to answer that. I'm just gonna ask you to consider what you're doing in your downtime. Because what you do in your downtime is what you are eventually going to be doing full time. If you have to do something else to make money, to pay your bills, because that's the reality of the situation, what are you doing in your downtime? And if it's nonprofits that you want to work with, then go and approach the nonprofits. If you give value to somebody else, right, go to the Chamber of Commerce. There's another one. Chamber of Commerce has a list of all the businesses in the area. If you like children, start aligning with the children's businesses. So how do you think outside of what your frame is right now to actually be able to do the things that you want to do? Because you can do it. You can do anything you want. It takes work. It's not hard work. The hardest work that it takes is that first step. I didn't even see you for a while back there. What's your name? Yeah. Catherine, what do you want to do? Multimedia storytelling for nonprofits. Do we have one we could pull up? Have you created one yet? But you know you want to do this. When am I going to see one? Maybe?
Yes, definitely.
I'm going to expect an email from you that says this is what it is. What is your story? Who are you going to tell it for? Nonprofits. Everybody thinks nonprofits. Now, can I just... is it okay, Chad? Am I doing okay here? It's okay. So let me just bust you here right now for nonprofits right now, okay? And this is a reality because it's in my hometown. Am I doing okay, Stephanie? Okay. So if they said no, do you think they'd say no in front of all you guys? Nonprofits rely on what to pay the bills?
Donations.
One, what else? Grants. Soft money. Okay, so with the economic crisis that's happened in the last year, right? Nonprofits. Soft money. What did people lose? People lost their soft money. Nonprofits right now are going through a really hard time. They need you. They don't know they need you, but they need you. Because you have to make an emotionally gripping multimedia presentation that nonprofit could use to wrench that soft money that's out there from the people that nobody else will get because of your work. And if you could pick one nonprofit that you really believe in and do it and make it a class project for yourself, and you make a difference. Like I saw some of Chad's stuff. Whew, you guys got a good professor there. That will make a difference. You do it now when you can incorporate it into your schoolwork so you could show results later. Who knows September Water? Charity Water. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Nonprofits need multimedia now more than ever. And I'm not frightening you about the money. They need you. They need multimedia. Just go and look at some of these peoples, what they've got out there. They need the Facebook campaign. They need the Twitters and the tweets. They need to get their message out. You are the people, if that's what it is. Newspapers need you. Newspapers need you. You guys need to start your blogs and start getting your following for whatever your passion is. Because even if it is that you love ferrets, there are other people in the world that love ferrets. It's true. It's just like whatever is your passion, you start that now. Before you have the pressure, right, of the world is ending. Before you have that pressure. Does that help you? I'm asking you, does that help you? What do you want to do? Oh, okay, I'll go you.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know.
No, you. You applied for one fellowship?
I applied for more than one, but that's the only one that I've had an interview
for. How did it go? But maybe not, so you still have to. but maybe not. No, this is, you guys, you're gonna hear no. You're gonna hear rejection. That's just how it is. Don't take it personally. If you do not get that, that does not mean that you are not great at what you do. You are gonna hear no. Apply. This was the best advice my uncle ever gave me. Have your hand in 12 things, Annie, 12. I'd like have my hand in two. He'd call me up and he'd say, get two more. And then he'd say, get two more. And then he'd say, get two more. And he'd say, one of them will pop. If you apply for one and bet everything on that one, sometimes it works. It worked for me with Project Kaisei. Sometimes that works. We're great. We're manifestors. We create what we want. We create what we desire. But don't put all your money on one thing. Why not go for 20? Then you'll have a choice. Right? I don't know. Maybe. No? Something wrong? What about you?
What do I want to do?
Uh-huh.
I have no idea.
No idea? Does this help you at all, talking about these different things? It does? Do you raise questions? What question did it make you raise in yourself?
This whole thing?
Yeah.
That I need to really think about what I want to do.
Do you like photography?
Yeah.
You do. No, that's, you might think that that's, it's not for everybody after they take it. After, with journalism. You know, some, I remember, does anybody want to go into public relations? No. You say that, just wait 5 years. Some of you guys will be in PR. Because it makes money and that all goes back to, you know, who we are and what we're doing. And so don't judge yourself if 5 years from now you end up in PR. Don't do it. Don't do it. No, the only reason why I ask you is because for some people it's not for everybody. But that rejection, like, don't let rejection stop you guys. And sometimes, Chad, do you believe in all your students? Yeah, do you believe in them? Do you think that they can do this?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt, right? So don't take it from me. Chad believes in you, right? And so sometimes all we need is one person to believe in us until we believe in ourselves. So if you don't believe that, you know, you can do it, just listen to Chad. Go to him during office hours and tell him you're having a bad time. How do I do this? And I'm sure he'll help you. Right? I mean, so believe in him. So he believes you can do it. So now what are you going to do? Are you doing anything? What are you doing? No. I mean, like, are you doing anything with your photography besides your school? Like, do you have personal projects that you're working on?
Yeah, I do a lot of weddings.
You do a lot of weddings. Do you like them?
That's what I want to do.
So it's great that you're doing them, because then you could get this great wedding, and then you know that that's not what you want to do. And do you know how what happens to a lot of people? They get sucked into weddings when they're really good at it. Are you good at it? No. Oh, she is. See, you are. And you know, maybe, and this is at the very beginning, I said, you don't have to do anything. You choose to do it. The next wedding that you do, I want you to shift your mind. And instead of going, I have to do this, I choose to do this, and I bet your photography will escalate. And I bet that you'll have a different shift in your mind around it as well. Just try that on for me, please. Every time, if you could replace that word have with choose to do it, choose to pick it. Does anybody, do you guys all take a picture every day? Sure? Who said sure? Do you? No? You know, I heard sure from somebody. I don't know. You know, you can even challenge yourself to try and take a picture every day. Challenge yourself. I know that I came late. I was late for class today. And I know that it might, I'm not sure. You guys are all being very good and staying very attentive. I want to make sure that I'm giving value, and I'll continue to talk for as long as you'll have me talk, because that's what I do. But it's really important that you've gotten some value from this, and if you have those questions, you know, that we get out, and I hope I didn't embarrass you or put you on the spot at all, but that maybe you will choose to do it in a different way the next time that you apply yourself to it. And I hope sophomore's right here, right?
Junior.
So is anybody gonna, what are you guys gonna do as soon as you leave here if you do not have one already?
URL.
Yeah, that's very important if you do not have one. And then you might think about other names that you might wanna register them. They're only $10 a year, maybe even less than that. Chad, do you have something that you in particular want me to cover, or? How much longer do I have?
I'm sorry?
Is there like a set time?
No, I mean, I think it's just kind of what the group
can handle. Can you handle anymore? You know, should I tell you about being with the rodeo? That was an interesting story. This goes passion. You guys, I traveled with the rodeo for 4 months. I'm from Chicago. I mean, come on, I traveled with the rodeo. So let me just tell you this quick story. So I ended up in New Zealand, and I thought, I had $150 in my pocket, that's it. I needed a job. I waitressed, but then they wanted a work visa, and I didn't have one. And then I went to this horse show. This is no kidding, I went to a horse show, and there was wild horses in New Zealand. I'd never heard of them, and I said to this woman who had the poster up there, I said, oh, I'd love to do a photo story on the wild horses of New Zealand. Why not, right? And then I had just been on a farm in Australia, where and the owner of the farm had told me about, in New Zealand, the sheep paddocks meet the ocean. And I went, oh, that sounds visual. And so I said, oh, and by the way, I'd also like to find where the sheep paddocks meet the ocean, because I really like farming. You know, I was like, this is just a story I told, right? But I really did. You know, it was like a different experience. I was from a city, and now I'm on a farm. And she said, oh, I know this family up in Russell, which is the Bay of Islands, some of the most beautiful country in New Zealand, right? And she said, call me Tuesday. I'll have an answer for you. Call her on Tuesday. She said, they said, come on up. So I got my backpack, I got my camera bag, and I put out my thumb, and I hiked up to the Bay of Islands. I got picked up by a guy. It was a really hard journey up to the Bay of Islands, hitchhiking. And I got up there, and I got sent to two brothers' farms. And there was a brother and his family here and a brother's family up on this hill, and they had a cattle and sheep farm. And I was staying with this brother and his family and the kids, and we went sheep shearing and cattle mustering, and I got some pretty good photos, and, you know, I'm getting into my story, and I'm a writer and all this other stuff. And then they kicked me out of their house. Now, I had become friends with this guy and his wife, so I went up to this, it was Tui and Don. I went up to Tui's house, and I said, Tui, I said, and I was 23, 24 years old. That's how old I was. I said, Tui, they're kicking me out. I just got here. I don't understand. And she starts laughing. She was my age, but she had two kids, a husband, and a farm. And she said to me, she said, I was wondering when it was going to happen. I said, what do you mean? And she said, you are the exact image of a woman from America that Don's brother had an affair with last year. And Leslie, you remind her of this woman, and so you've got to go. And she said, Tui says, but Don and I love you. We're going to a rodeo next weekend. Would you join us? Right? So I ended up traveling with Tui and Don for the summer circuit of the rodeo, and I took photos and then sold them to the cowboys and cowgirls and made money that way. And it was an experience. I did sheep shearing, cattle mustering, all these wild things, right? The point that I'm telling you, or why I'm telling you this story, right, is there's a way to do travel, right, if you can afford it, just for the experience. Doors fly open when you do different stuff, especially if you're good at it, right? The second reason is, if I didn't go to TUI, if I would have just taken that rejection and left, I would have never traveled with the rodeo. I would have felt bad because I couldn't understand why they were asking me to leave. She wasn't going to tell me that backstory. Sometimes people tell us no. Sometimes people kick us out. We have no idea why they're doing it. We only have the story in our head. Oh, did I say the wrong thing? No. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with them. And that's how life is sometimes. So don't let those no's stop you. Don't let that rejection stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Be unstoppable and be unreasonable. It was completely unreasonable to go and travel with the rodeo. Completely unreasonable. Anyways, that's just a kind of offshoot. What do you want to do now? Who do you want to be? Who are you? What's that? Figuring it out. What year are you? I believe you're figuring it out. It's a great, does anybody like the position that they're in right now? Like that, not knowing what I'm gonna do, because I hate it. I really hate it when I'm in that limbo period, and I've learned to really like it and to kind of go, instead of like being frustrated with it all, it's kind of like, oh, where's it gonna take me? You know, and shifting your mind makes it easier, and it makes it better for the interviews as well.
So I'm thinking maybe, I know you guys have, class was over at 9 for those of you who are in class, so maybe it's sort of split for people who need to leave.
Wait, one photo though, who's got that camera? Can we do a photo? And I will stay and I will talk to you guys as much as you, you know, or if I can help you individually. I would love to help in any way I can, because that's what I do, or I try to do.
Yeah, so feel free to stay, because we have the room, obviously. But if you feel like you need to
leave, Chad's got to be in it. Oh, we can set it up with a timed exposure. No?
Oh.
For those of you, I did have a lot of, I'm just going to play this, because these are just 1 minute clips. There's two or three of these 1 minute clips while he's figuring out the camera. I want to introduce you to something. So this was one of the reasons, and this is really important. Oh, shoot. Hold on 2 seconds. Let's see if it starts. Maybe I have to back up one. The only reason why I got this job was because I did photo and video. I knew what the client needed, and I worked 20 hours a day. I really did. I don't know many people who would have done on this expedition what I did. And that's just because when we face different things now. We face challenges of download time. So for every, you know, my high def cards, for every minute I shoot, it takes more than a minute to download, because I got to hook everything up and disconnect it and everything like that. You have to know your subjects. I know not only the ocean, I've lived on boats, so I knew I wasn't going to get seasick. We were out to sea for more than 3 weeks, right? So you have to know. So the research part of your jobs, like before you go for an interview or before you want to decide what you're going to do, you have to research out the company. So everything that you're learning about in class for telling a good story, you want to know whatever company you're researching out. So that's one reason, and so that if you don't have good video skills yet, now is the time to practice. And then this kind of thing happens. So it ends up that I meet this guy whose father captured Namu and Shamu for SeaWorld, right? So how did I meet this guy? And I got an interview with him. So I went to his house. The guy hired me in October to make some commercials for his company. And then I started talking to him. I got that job because he knew that I interviewed my grandmother and he wanted his father's story told. And so I got that job because I became friends with my client and he wanted his father interviewed, and he trusted me to do it. So how you do anything is how you do everything. You have to talk with the people, and you have to get to know them because our industry is a people industry. People are hiring you because of the person that you are and what you do in your downtime, what you do in your off time, who you are. But I am looking in this year, I'm trying to figure out not how to do the Namu and Shamu thing for free, but potentially now how to raise funds. Because, you know, when The Cove came out, did anybody see the movie The Cove? Did it not come through here? What's that?
We're going to do a screening Saturday.
Oh, so this is perfect setup for it. So The Cove is very anti-SeaWorld and anti any place that has dolphins, and you're going to see why. It's a fabulous movie. It really is. But the people who've spoken out against it are against that. Without Namu and Shamu going into the aquariums, we wouldn't know what we know about science. And so there's this thing about how you know and ethics and all of this other stuff. And SeaWorld entertains and has brought the ocean to so many people that would have never had it. And so this all goes back to these different stories. But now, in the Puget Sound, we might lose all killer whales because of the plastic and the pollution going into the ocean. So it doesn't matter how many were taken or not taken, you know, and so this opens up a bigger issue. So I just wanted to share that with you, that I am always looking for projects to work on myself, right? But then it comes to a point, you know, some of the things I do because it's a labor of love, just like I'm sure you do things for laborers of love, and then there's things that you have to do for finance. And if you can match up the labor of love with the right person who wants to finance, that's another avenue that you can look at. Anyways, that's what I just wanted. When I saw that, I just thought I'd throw those two things in there.